Hey, Red.
Hi there, Red.
Welcome to Red Square.
No commie talk.
Just common sense.
From a couple of uncommon gingers.
You got that right.
Ain't that the truth?
So what's been on your mind, Red?
Well, this is Red Squared, take two.
Why? What happened with take one?
Our engineer messed up a little bit, a tiny bit.
Fire that guy.
Well, he's also the other podcaster.
Oh, I was talking about me, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were.
I had the wrong mic turned up. That was my fault.
Okay.
Now we got something going on.
It's an honest mistake.
Here we go.
Okay. So what is on my mind? I'm going back to my age-old adage.
Yeah?
Which is, every day's an adventure.
But what kind of adventure
are
they,
just
Red?
Not always good ones.
Yeah. Well, adventure does not have necessarily a positive connotation.
No, it doesn't.
It can be awesome. It can also be treacherous.
But you want a positive connotation.
Well, when you're talking about adventures, the fun ones are the fun ones.
Well, you have to take the good with the bad, I guess. So yesterday I got home and our new puppy, who's not that new anymore, he's 11 months old.
Yeah, he's still in puppy mode, but he's getting
he is.
There.
But he was very lethargic, and we didn't notice it at first. Like, he didn't greet me at the door. He wasn't jumping up and down. He kind of sauntered over.
So the wifey was home with the dog already.
She had taken the dog for a long walk, and she said that she was talking on the phone and wasn't paying attention a little bit.
While she was walking the dog?
While she was walking the dog. And we think in that time the dog, we guess, ingested something. Because when it
ingested,
changed
his, the dog found something to eat.
The dog finds everything to eat.
Another dog's poop.
Yeah, we don't know.
Don't know. Yeah, dogs eat all kinds of stuff if they get it.
The other day, the last week, I was walking the dog and he picked up white glass.
In his mouth.
In his mouth.
Okay.
So when you're when you're walking the dog, you're always watching his mouth.
Let's hope that he is still a puppy and he'll learn not to do things like that.
I don't think so. But so we were at home and we noticed that he was just lying down with his head hanging. He was like a limp rag.
Oh, geez.
It was.
So what did you go to immediately? Were you like, he ingested something? Because that is not the first thing I would think.
What I said immediately, this is what got us. Going down this path was, I said, he looks like he's drugged.
Those were your words.
Those were my words. And then that kind of set up alarms with both of us. Because
what the hell?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you might have thought it was a health issue.
Well, yeah. Your mind starts racing as the possibilities. Is this it? You know, what's going to happen?
Yeah. Like, the dog can't tell you what's wrong.
Right. Which is very frustrating.
You're like, come on, just tell me what's wrong.
So we put him on the couch, and he really didn't move for like 10 minutes. So I picked him up, put his head on my lap, and he was just so lethargic. And I said, okay, let's try to get him up and walk around. And we got him up on all fours, and he was kind of swaying back and forth, which is totally unusual. And then when he tried to walk, his back legs were like giving out.
Wow.
And that's when the alarm bells went off.
Yeah, for sure, because he's a very energetic. You know, when I come over to do podcast, he always greets me at the door, hopping up and down.
Right, like a bunny.
Yeah, butt wiggling, ready to get pets. He knows I'm going to come in and love on him.
Red's here.
Right? Every Wednesday. Here he is.
It's Wednesday again.
It must be Wednesday again.
It's better than Chewy Day.
Hey, and I saw that box out front.
It's all dog food.
Really?
Yeah. So we took him to the hospital and they checked him out. And the first thing they said was, "Did he get some pot?" And like, no, we didn't give him any pot.
The veterinarian
said that.
They took one look at you and were like, "Wait a second, do you feed your dog pot?"
I resemble that remark. So
you resemble it? That's what you said.
Yes. So
I think that's hilarious because you do not look like someone who's going to be smoking pot in the first place. Secondly, have so much pot that you want to give your dog some.
Right. And thirdly, I'm bald as a cue ball. But the first thing that the doctor said was, you know, they said, people come in here all the time giving their dogs pot, or their dog has eaten some of their pot.
Yeah, so like maybe the dog broke into the stash.
Yeah, so it's a commonplace occurrence.
Well, there's so many like edibles out there these days, and dogs love treats.
Right.
If they could break into a batch of brownies or something.
Yeah, because they have that incredible sense of smell.
Next thing you know. Well, Amigo's okay, though, because he was just fine when I got here today.
Right, but we were there for 3 hours, almost three hours.
Oh, my gosh, that's a long time.
Until 10:45, and by the time we left at 10:45, he was better. He wasn't his usual Amigo self, but he was walking on his own volition.
So what did the vets do? What did they?
They just tested him, you know, tested his reflexes.
They were like, he's just going to have to ride this one out.
Right, precisely. And we were good with that. We took him home. We put him into bed, and he was fine this morning.
Yeah, well, that's good. He is a sweet little guy.
Yes,
you love that little guy.
So that was the first adventure. But anyways, it was good that we didn't watch the basketball game because fate intervened.
Well, the Cavs game was pretty fun. It was pretty treacherous to watch. You know, at the beginning, they were just playing terrible, couldn't make a shot.
But they were playing, I figured they were playing their second string, right?
Sort of. Garland was in most of the game.
Okay.
I saw
he had a game high, didn't he?
I don't know.
I think he did.
Well, Mobley and Jared Allen, like, carried the team in the first half.
Okay.
Completely. And then in the fourth quarter, Garland kind of took over.
Okay.
It was a good win to come back and get number 15 in a row.
Right, right.
You know, don't want to talk about sports too much, but that's a big one.
Well, it's the second time they've won 15 this year.
And that makes them one of six teams in the history of the NBA to have two 15-game winning streaks in the same season.
That's incredible.
I think so.
All right, so the second thing that was kind of amazing.
Another adventure?
Well, not so much of an adventure, just an occurrence.
Okay, dang it. I
woke
up more adventures.
Yeah, I woke up at 4:30 today hearing and howling, a very fierce howling. And I thought, I think there's an animal outside our window.
Okay.
So I get out of bed, open the shade, and I watch a coyote walk across our front lawn, probably about 15 feet from my window.
Really?
Yeah. So,
okay. That's kind of crazy.
Well, I've been thinking, I guess I'm not going to be letting Amigo out in the morning like that anymore.
Yeah, maybe not, huh?
Yeah. But it was nice to see a wild animal, just not so close.
Yeah, man, our neighbors told us that we had a coyote in our yard once, but I've never seen one.
Okay.
I've seen foxes.
Oh, foxes are cool.
They are cool, but never a coyote.
So I saw this the other day, and it just kind of shocked me.
What was that?
Doge head Elon Musk posted 1,314 times on X last week.
Whoa.
1,314 times on X last week.
Well, that is a lot. He's promoting his own company, I guess.
But that's more than a lot. That is obsessive.
1,000 times.
Okay, well, so that averages to 187 posts a day.
Wow.
187 posts a day. How much does he have to say?
Are we going to have to break this down again? All right, 187 a day. So that breaks it down to if he's up 18 hours a day.
Okay. So that's 10 an hour.
That's a little more than 10 an hour. So
that's
one a little bit more than every 6 minutes.
That's incredible. I don't have that much to say.
Sure you do. That's why we have a podcast.
Okay. Wow. That number I found astounding.
Well,
what do you want to talk about, Red?
Well, one thing that we didn't talk about last week that I wanted to bring up is when the wifey and I went to Florida, we experienced the red tide.
The red tide on Red Squared. Yeah. Stay tuned, folks.
Right? Except this isn't one of those adventures that is not really so pleasant.
Right. Well, that's the other side.
The red tide happens, it's happened twice in the years we've been going down there.
Okay, I assume you're talking about on a beach.
Yes, this is in Siesta Key, Florida, right on the beach, the ocean right there. We got down there on Friday, woke up Saturday morning. It was beautiful. Walked the beach.
How warm?
Like almost 80 degrees.
Holy cow.
Like super nice.
80 degrees. I think it was like 20 here.
Yeah, or less actually. And then, but the very next day, there, we walk out of the little condo that her parents had, and we could immediately smell fish. And I was like, wow, it smells so fishy today. And we get to the beach.
Isn't it funny how the other senses kick in? Like the smell was the first one to greet you?
Yeah, it really did. And there were just dead fish everywhere. And it was because of red tide. It's an algae, and I thought it was like an algae bloom that was doing stuff like it did in Lake Erie, where it takes oxygen out of the water.
Right.
But this is it creates a neurotoxin.
Okay, so this is on the water or on the beach?
In the ocean.
Water, okay.
It's an algae bloom.
Oh, and it kills the fish, and they
wash up
on the...
And like just crazy amounts of them. In the 1 mile that we walked that morning on the beach, we must have seen at least 1,000 dead fish.
Wow.
Of all like sizes.
And did they just stink out loud?
Yeah. It thankfully the wind was like kind of blowing, but you could just smell.
That foul odor of dead fish is overwhelming.
And I expected like the seagulls and stuff to be everywhere, and they really weren't.
I wonder if they have some kind of warning system that prevents them from eating infected fish.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, they died from this neurotoxin. And when you're walking around on the beach, it wasn't as bad this time. It had been worse before. When you breathe it in, you can really feel it.
In your lungs.
It's like someone cooking with really hot peppers in the kitchen.
Right.
And you walk out there and you kind of breathe that in.
You start wheezing.
And you just kind of feel it in your chest, and it feels like kind of spicy almost.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It was, yeah.
So what do they do about all these fish? Did you watch them cleaning it up?
No, we thought they would. You know, we were like, they're going to have to. But the next morning, they still had not. I don't know if they were waiting for all of it to happen. But there were still a lot of people on the beach. We still took a walk, and it was just crazy that there's just like a path or a like swath.
A swath, right. Does the temperature contribute to the rise of the red tide?
Well, some people there are saying, oh, it's a natural occurrence. It happens every year. But there's a lot of, you know, like influence on it. Chemicals, a lot of fertilizers. You know, they were saying all the
land discharged by the rivers and stuff.
All the landscaping that these resorts do near the beach, and all the fertilizer that runs into the water. Yeah, they were saying that has a big influence.
Let's see, another man-made influence.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm reading a crazy book right now. Have you ever heard of the book Sapiens?
As in the Homo sapiens?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really interesting. I'm only about 100 pages in, so I'll talk about it more later. But they talk about all the influences that man have had on
the earth. Is it nonfiction then?
Yeah.
And you find it interesting?
I do. It's been really good so far.
All right. Well, I might have to check it out.
Yeah. What else we got? Oh.
Well, what do we have here?
All right. It's time for today's National Day, March 12th, 2025. What is today's National Day, Red?
Today's National Day, Red, is Johnny Appleseed Day. Thank you.
Tell me a little bit more about Johnny Appleseed.
Johnny Appleseed was a very romantic historical character who's rumored, and documented for that matter, to have walked across parts of early 1800 America and planted orchard after orchard after orchard. Oftentimes, he was walking barefoot. He walked through Ohio. He walked through Illinois. He walked through West Virginia. He walked through Indiana.
Planting apple seeds?
Apple orchards. He had some kind of religious bent to it that he was going to feed so nobody would go hungry.
Okay. I don't know. I did not know. I remember the drawings and the stuff, cartoons of him wearing a like pot.
Yeah, yeah.
As a hat backwards.
Right.
And walking around.
Which I never really understood.
Just throwing seeds over his shoulders.
I mean, buy a hat, will you? So anyways, Disney made an animated film about him.
Yeah, I feel like I saw that.
So he's a cultural icon. They have one original tree that he planted back in 1800.
How do they know it's his?
Somehow they figured this out through genealogy, and it's located in Savannah, Ohio.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool. So
where's Savannah,
really
Ohio?
I have no idea. I bet it's in Western Ohio.
You know what, Red? We're going to have to take a road trip.
To go to Savannah,
we're
going to
go see Johnny Appleseed's tree.
Pretty soon it'll be live from Savannah, Ohio.
Exactly. We're going to do a remote show.
Here's the catch to all this.
All right. So this is our national day.
This is our national day.
Johnny Appleseed
Day. Oh, by the way, they celebrate it twice a year.
And?
Because first of all, his original name was John Chapman, which I did not know.
Well, you didn't? I'm disappointed that he wasn't named Johnny Appleseed.
I know. Johnny Appleseed's cool.
That would have been destiny.
And they celebrate it on March 11th or 12th. Okay. And they celebrate it on September 28th.
Harvest Day or something?
No. Planting Day is March 12th.
Yeah.
And then its actual birthday is September 28th.
Oh, okay. So I thought maybe it had something to do with the, like, growing cycle of the apple trees.
Right. So this fabled lore of him planting trees all across the country is all well and good. But upon further research.
Yes, what else did you find out, well, Red?
When the kids
You were, just have this mischievous look in your eye
I
right
do,
now.
I do. I've been sitting on this bit of knowledge for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
When the kids were in high school, they had to read books. And I over the summer, I would often read the books they read. So I could, you know, help
them,
if
them
I,
and
yeah,
help
exactly.
them with
it. I mean, I read Great Expectations, you know, in my 60s. Never in high school.
Plus, you're an avid reader anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But there's this one book they called Botany of Desire.
And Botany.
Botany of Desire. It talked about the plants that contributed to coffee, cola, tea, and cider.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So our good guy, Johnny Appleseed, wasn't quite the noble character he's made out to be.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He did more than just walk around the country planting apple seeds?
See, back in the 1800s, apples were not the sweet, edible fruit that we know them as now. The apples that Johnny Appleseed brought to the frontier weren't used for eating.
Oh, no.
There we go. There's the catch. Brother.
Okay, I think I know where this is going. Okay,
yes, you do. They were used for, in the 1800s, as the beverage of choice, hard apple cider.
Woohoo!
Better than beer, better than whiskey, hard apple cider. But this was on the frontier.
Sure.
Okay.
You know, they would take what they could get, I guess, huh?
So in commemoration of Johnny Appleseed,
oh, what do you have here?
Hard apple cider for us to try today.
Oh, this one is even named Crisp Apple. I love it. I love it.
You can do the honors.
Oh, well, you have the popper here.
And we are going to celebrate with a clink Johnny Appleseed.
All right, there you are, Red.
Our frontier sort of hero.
Okay. Well, I like him a lot more now than I did before.
Who walked around the country allowing people to imbibe.
Johnny, you knew exactly what the world needed at the time, Johnny. And you delivered. Good man, Johnny. I'm going to learn a little bit more about you this year as a result of this newfound discovery. Apples?
Ooh, it's quite refreshing.
Let's see.
It's like apple juice with a kick.
Oh, yeah, that's a very sweet one.
Yeah.
You can get dry ones. I do love a good cider, actually.
I've never had. I thought this
really?
Would be a good chance to try it.
This is your first cider.
My first hard cider.
Well, yeah.
It's not bad.
No, it's very good. It is very juice, like kind of sparkling apple juice. They do have ones that are, you know, a little drier, a little more subtle flavors.
Yeah.
Have you ever had the pear one?
No, I saw them as I was shopping for these ciders.
I like those too. Sometimes, you know, if we're out for like a brunch and the wifey wants a mimosa, like I get that, but that's not always what I'm looking for.
Right.
And if we're out for like a, you know, Sunday brunch and it's like, oh, we're going to have a drink. I don't always want to have a beer Sunday morning either.
Right.
I'll often go for a cider.
Cider is like a quasi juice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You have a water, you have a cider, and you basically have
breakfast.
Johnny knew what he was doing.
All right, let's be careful. We're not going to have these ciders for our breakfast.
That's right. We're going to have to finish these during the show. Cheers, Red. Cheers. Nicely done.
All right.
Okay, what else we got today, Red?
One more thing. This is, you put under the category of, I can't believe it.
Okay.
Which
now, you were excited when we were planning last week. You were like, oh, I can't wait to tell you about
right,
this.
Right, right. So, historically, the Russian army has been labeled brutal. Like, I remember reading about the Poles and the Germans were saying, you know, we don't want the Russians to liberate us. We want the Americans because the Russians were rumored to be so brutal.
Well, they sort of had to be. If it wasn't for the Russians, we would have lost World War II.
I don't know about that.
No doubt about it. Germany having to split their army and fight two fronts.
Well, there you go. That's true. That's true.
And like Germany couldn't make enough bullets. The Russians just kept putting more soldiers out there.
Right.
They had more casualties.
What they're doing now, by the way.
They had more casualties than anyone.
Right. They lost, I think, 12 million people in World War II. The most of any country.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right, I'll give you that point. But
I'm just saying.
Let's go back.
Don't get me wrong. I'm no fan of Putin. That's for sure.
So they invaded Ukraine 3 years ago. Okay. Contrary to what our current president stated. And.
Yeah, that one's indisputable.
Right, right. The world knows he's wrong on that one. So anyways, they blew up a dam. And so I guess the human rights organizations are going to sue him because of what he did.
When you say him, Trump?
I'm sorry.
Putin. Yeah.
The head of Russia. They blew up a dam and flooded like three or 4 miles downstream. Okay?
Okay.
Barbaric in its own right, okay?
What was
destroying all the flora and fauna, but they flooded a zoo.
I was going to say, what was...
They flooded a zoo and killed 300 animals.
Yeah, that's
300
horrible.
Innocent animals just because they wanted to...
There must have been some strategic military thing, don't you think?
I think
it was just to mess with people.
Well, they were going to wipe out the agriculture that supported the... There was a bigger plan.
They didn't have any consideration for what else was going on.
These animals were caught in cages, and they were flooded.
Yeah.
That is brutal.
That really is.
That really irks me. They also had an animal reserve that the animals would run around freely, okay? They took all the animals and put them in Russian zoos. First of all, these animals were running around free. Now they're in cages. They took 8 American bison that we gave them.
Oh. Yeah.
It seems like it goes outside the purview of war. That's extra.
I know. And, you know, I'm not disagreeing with your feelings or really disgust with it, but it's, I guess I'm thinking all the things that are happening to humans.
Right, right.
All the soldiers and their families and then, you know, on both sides. It's just...
But this, I guess my thought is it's a human conflict. Let's pertain it to only humans.
Okay. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I totally do.
I mean, the Ukrainians willingly are fighting the Russians.
Yeah.
Okay? The Ukrainians in the Ukraine or the Ukrainian animals in the zoo didn't have much say in the matter.
No.
No.
They certainly did not.
It just irks me.
And I totally get why.
And I could never side with Putin on this.
No. God, there's not much I can side with Putin on, if anything.
Okay, we really went into a lot of detail over here.
It's all right, though.
It is good.
But you know what it's time for?
The
Ginger Report.
Really, the report this time is more of life experiences because we have all gotten hurt in our childhood. And I salute my parents for getting their kids through this stuff because I couldn't imagine handling it as an adult.
Yeah.
So we'll let you start, Red.
All right. Well, growing up, I was pretty lucky. You know, I did a bunch of, like, dumb stuff that should have probably gotten me hurt as a kid, but never really got actually messed up. I remember being a little kid. I don't know why.
How old?
Oh, geez. Before school age, I think. Maybe kindergarten. We were living in on the dead end gravel road in the trailer house.
So you were 4 or 5.
I must have been 5. Yeah, or five.
Yeah.
I was playing with the neighbor kids up the street. Somehow I got this game where I thought it was fun to, as you know, like a car or my mom drove the car down the street, grab onto the bumper and just run behind the bumper. Because usually they're going slow.
At 4 years old, you want to do this?
I don't know why.
Like, I remember being in my, let's say, 14, 15, 16. When it would snow here, cars would go by and you'd grab on their bumpers and you'd slide down the street behind the car.
Skiing, kind of.
Right, right. But, God, at 4 years old, I would.
4 or 5, yeah. Like, I remember doing it a couple of times. And then this one time, my mom must have been going fast because, like, the neighbor kids come running up the street asking, are you okay? Are you okay? Your legs were flying in the air behind the car.
You were airborne?
Yeah, like, I could not keep up. I was just holding on with my hands, and my legs were flying. And I seriously...
This is incredible.
I'm pretty sure, like, I don't know when I let go, but I definitely let go and, like, rolled around in the gravel. And got up and shook it off, and nothing happened to me.
Wow, that's amazing. Let me tell you something real quick that I don't even remember happening, but it's a very amusing in my family. Continually mocks me out for it. When I was a kid, and I must have been 2 or 3, and somehow I crawled up on a bunk bed to the top level, and I fell over, and I landed on a marble. In my head.
Oh.
I am one of the few people who actually had a hole in his head.
Oh, my God. That would hurt so bad. It really broke your head?
It was embedded in my head.
Oh, my God.
I don't remember this at all. But my family continually reminds me of it.
Well, one time, I do remember this, that now you're reminding me of a story.
Okay.
Like, we used to jump on our bed all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, constantly. We would jump off the dresser onto our bed, like all kinds of dumb stuff. Well, I jumped off the dresser onto the bed, then off the bed onto the ground, and I landed right on a nail.
Ooh.
We had just gotten a...
How old were you here?
Oh, I under 10, single digits still. Probably 7.
Still fearless.
Definitely. Like, we'd gotten a, like, toy train set. And it was one of the little, like, tacks.
Oh, okay. To keep the tracks in place?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I landed on, and it just immediately went straight into my, like, right by my heel.
Oh, my God.
I remember, you know, my parents just pulling it out.
No hospital visit?
No. God, we didn't have insurance. They weren't going to take me to the hospital.
So, is there a hospital visit?
This is what it took for me to go to the hospital.
Okay, all right.
I had to have my skull split.
Put your seatbelt on, folks.
Not actually my skull, but my... All right, so in sixth grade, I remember this. I was in sixth. The, like, track and field competition was coming up.
Okay.
And I was trying to do the high jump. I was practicing the high jump. And I was practicing it...
Were you any good at it?
Not really. I didn't know how to actually do the high jump.
Did you go over front?
I went over head first.
Oh, head first, okay.
And that was the, like, when I got to the competition... They were like, that's an illegal jump. And I was like, oh, it's the only way I know how to do it is right. Like kind of dive over the bar. But they told me I had to jump off 1 foot. And I was running up and like kind of jumping off both feet. But anyway, I'm practicing inside. And my family's kind of encouraging me. I have a...
Wait, what's wrong with this picture?
I have a string like taped to the little partition that separates the... kitchen and the living room, like this little wall.
Right.
And then tape to the other side where this couch was.
So the string would act as the bar.
Exactly. And I piled up a couple of like sleeping bags to land in. And my dad's sitting right in the living room. He's the one who says, you keep slowing down. As you come around the little curve.
Your dad'd say, maybe you shouldn't do it there.
No, he was like, you keep slowing down as you come around the little curve. Try and keep your speed up and really jump. Well, I did that, and I jumped, and I did not get around the curve enough, and I hit my head right on the partition.
Ouch.
And I just, like, went over and sat on the couch and was like, man, that hurt, and put my hand on my head and then looked at my hand, and it was covered in blood. And then I started freaking out and crying and,
yeah,
like, losing my mind. My parents were like, oh, man, I don't know. There was a lady up the street who was a nurse, so they go and get her. And she comes and looks at my head, and she's like, yeah, you see that white stuff? That's his skull. You better go get stitches for this one.
Yeah.
So they took me to the emergency room.
And how far away was the emergency room?
10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Everything in North Platte is at ten minutes away.
North Platte sounds like a small town.
It is a small town.
Okay.
The name of it.
Yeah, it just denotes small town.
Yeah.
It could be called small town.
It has a bunch of generic, like, the mall is called the mall.
They stayed up nights thinking of that one.
You know, I want to be on the marketing team that came up
with
that.
Right, right. I want the money that they got for coming up with that.
But yeah, I went to the emergency room and the doctor came and he stitched me up. I still remember laying there.
Did he anesthetize
you? Novocaine?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My head and telling my dad, "Can you hear that?" And he was like, "What?" I was like, "Every time I can hear it go zip."
So you could hear the stitches being pulled through your skull, your skin.
Yeah, I could hear them.
And you probably felt it too.
It sounded like a zipper zipping. I couldn't even really feel it. I was a little bit out of it, I think, as a...
Well, I'm sure they really novocaine you
yeah,
pretty well.
I think so. I really do.
How many stitches do you know?
Four.
Oh, that's not many.
No. It was just... seriously, it was a cut that was probably just over an inch long. But it was deep.
Okay.
And yeah, you know, I
did. Do you have a scar up there?
Probably. Okay. I don't know.
Oh, because you have hair.
Yeah. One day the world will know.
Okay. Well, stay tuned, folks.
Hopefully, much further down the road. But yeah, we didn't go back to have the doctor take the stitches out. My dad just cut them out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were like, "We're not paying for that. Just get over here. Spend the 5 days."
I gotta meet your dad someday. Who's what? Who's younger than I am?
Yeah, which I'd always thought you guys were the same age. He's a year younger than
me. Yeah. Okay, well, I could tell two stories here. And one is a great story, but it...
So you'll tell three instead?
No, I'll just tell one. I'll just tell the one. We'll come back to this other time. So when I was 21, say 22, I had a brother who moved to Montana. And, well, he moved when I was 17, but he would come back every year. And me and my brother... And these two guys, Scotty Lopesack and Mike Bacon, who we called Eggs.
Okay. That was Mike's nickname.
Yeah, that's Eggs. His nickname. And we would play tackle football 2-on-2. It was me and Eggs and Scotty and my brother. And this one time he came home, Cleveland had a horrendous storm, horrendous snowstorm, because it was December 22nd.
Okay.
Okay, so we're playing football.
And it didn't matter. That was the best time to play tackle football.
We were having a time. But unfortunately, when I was a younger man, when I would try really hard, I would stick my tongue between my teeth.
Oh, you would bite. You'd be one of those guys?
I'd be one of those
guys. That was one of your focus, like...
I'm going to try really hard.
Someone should have got you a mouthpiece.
Ah, yes. Yes. So we're playing football, and I got hit in the mouth, and I bit my tongue.
Oh, God.
In a blizzard.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. This is
like
this
bad.
Bad. And so we had to stop the game. I'm going home. I put a big rag on my tongue, go home to my house. It was only about 2 minutes away. And my mother worked at Hillcrest Hospital in the emergency room. She wasn't working that night. And it was a blizzard, and she didn't want to go. So... Not to her credit, she wrote a note saying, "Please take care of my son." And so my brother drove me to the hospital.
Oh, my God. That's snowstorm. So funny. We that your mom's there. Like, here's a note.
Right.
Take this to the doctor.
So we get there, and there is a terrific accident on 271, like a five-car accident.
Oh, Lord.
On a blizzard. So I get there, and I put this note on the desk, and they say, okay, we'll get back to you. And my brother and I sit in the emergency room for 2 hours.
Oh, my God. While your tongue
time
just bleeds.
I'm just dabbing my tongue, filling up the ashtray with bloody Kleenex.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. Finally.
The ashtray in the hospital. Yes. That's also a sign of the times.
Right. A long time ago. So that guy, what is this? Got to be at 1973 or so. So I finally, after 2 hours and watching this tremendous activity. Is it tremendous? Is that a word? Anyways, this flurry of activity in the emergency room. I go up to the desk. I go, of course, my tongue is all swollen, bloody. Excuse me.
Spitting blood all over the counter.
I bit my tongue. Can you help me? And the nurse goes, oh. I go, I left you a note. She goes, oh, I thought you were here to pick up your mother.
Oh, my God. No way.
Way.
This whole time.
This whole time. And so the activity had died down with this accident. And they said, okay, come this way. And they take me to this room, and they lie me down on a table. And I will never forget this for the rest of my life. I'm there for about 10 minutes, and all of a sudden, eight people walk into the room. And eight people proceed to grab every appendage and hold me down.
Oh, Lord.
I'm like, this cannot.
You're like,
I'm
this
like,
isn't
this
good.
This cannot be good.
Right?
Okay.
Like, I'm being restrained.
Right. So then the doctor, or no, I'm sorry, the anesthetizer walks in, and each person grabs my appendage and holds me down as tight as they can. And then they proceed to anesthetize my tongue. So I had about
sticking a needle in it?
In my tongue. Do you know? And one person just had to hold my tongue out.
Yeah.
With a little,
you know, the
cloth or something. And my body convulsed with every shot. My body shot up. My legs and arms were held down. It was like, ugh!
Oh, Lord.
It was incredibly painful. And then, the anesthesia kicked in, and they sewed up my tongue with 7 stitches.
Wow.
It was an unbelievable week because my tongue swole up and filled my mouth. So for the first 3 days, I could not say a word. And my father...
Like, all you could eat was, like, applesauce.
Right, or ice cream, you know. My father, like, what's the matter, Greg? You can't talk? People would call me up just to laugh at me.
Just because you could not say a word.
I could not say a word. Because my tongue filled my mouth.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But the crazy thing was, and this was, you know, every once in a while you're really scared that something really bad's going to happen. Well, my tongue was all purple and black. I mean, filled my mouth. I, for 2 or 3 days, thought that I would never talk again.
Like, this is how it's just going to be.
It's going to be gone. They're going to take my tongue out. I thought it was going to be dead or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was really
Oh, my God, that's
afraid.
Terrifying.
It was horrible. It was horrible. But fortunately...
for the rest of the world, thankfully.
Well, unfortunately for the rest of the world, fortunately for me, the tongue is the quickest healing organ in your body.
Really?
Because...
Did not know that.
It lives in a bed of saliva.
Oh, it has to.
So it heals quickly. And within about a week and a half... I had full use of my tongue. I think they put in, I can't remember for sure now, self-dissolving stitches. So I never had to have them taken out. And the rest is history. I am here talking to you today.
Wow.
It was.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's a crazy story.
It really is.
Sometime I'll tell you the story about cutting my wrist.
On accident.
Accidentally.
Okay. I was
we don't have to go on that tonight.
We might have to. Go talk to a therapist first.
Well, we'll talk to a therapist for many other reasons.
Yeah, that's not one of them. Well.
Well, Red.
I don't know. I think it was another
fantastic episode of Red Squared.